Hello and welcome to the Outdoor Voices podcast, the podcast where we explore the world outside through interviews with the outdoor community. However, today it is just me, Bracken of BrackenOutdoors.com, bringing you a solo show on my top 5 tips for getting the weight of your backpack down. The subject for today's show, reducing your pack weight for backpacking, was inspired by a blog post I put out last week, which I defined bushcraft and backpacking. You see, about 2 years ago, I made a trip to Scotland, wild camping trip, and in that, relatively new to camping, I packed everything in the kitchen sink into my backpack. I think at the end, my weight with food and water and everything was verging on 25, 26 kilos, which was backbreaking. And not something I was going to carry over any sort of distance. So coming back from that trip, I made a decision that, first of all, I would split off what I do for backpacking and what I do for bushcraft, where bushcraft is going to be a stay in one place, heavy duty gear, make a campfire, make yourself as comfortable as possible, and enjoy the area that I'm going to be in. Whereas my backpacking kit is going to be lighter weight, more self-supported, and it's just going to be all about the sights I can see, the places I can visit, and the things I can do, rather than staying in one spot. Having that lighter load enables me to go further and do more. So that's what sort of inspired these tips. So that, getting straight into that, my top 5 tips for lightening the load while backpacking. Number 1 goes to just what I was talking about. Be clear about your goals. You need to decide exactly what it is you want to achieve your trip. And even though you can achieve anything, you probably can't achieve everything. What I mean by that is that if you want to, say, walk 100-120 miles a day, you are really not going to have the time or the energy to really sit in your camp and enjoy yourself, have a really good fire, cook a full-on meal. All of those things are probably not going to happen. You're essentially sacrificing distance, essentially sacrificing comfort for distance. But if you're very clear that I would like to get as far as possible, I'd like to, say, do the Hadrian's Wall walk end to end, and I'd like to do it comfortably, then your kit's going to look a lot different from if you go, well, hey, I'd like to walk into the Lake District, find a place to camp next to a nice little tarn, and just spend the next few days just exploring that local area. Your kit's going to look very, very different. So if you're clear and targeted with what you want to achieve, you can actually start to make decisions about your kit. You go, well, hey, if I'm not going to be there for a very long time, I'm not going to be making a fire, maybe a lighter weight aluminium cook set will do a lot better for what I'm looking to do with cooking. Maybe if I'm not looking for the perfect thing in camp comfort, but I just want somewhere to crash at the end of the day, then I'll leave that extra tarp at home, the tarp that I would normally use to make a kind of base camp cook area, and I'll just cook in the porch of my tent. All of these decisions factor in to what you want to do. My biggest mistake, as I said in that article in Scotland, was that I was trying to do everything. I was trying to be too bushcrafty. I wanted to light a fire. I wanted to be able to filter all of my own water through a brown bag and boil it, everything else. But I still wanted to use a gas canister and carry that around with me and be fully self-sufficient for food. All of that, it just wasn't happening in one go. So, first thing is be very clear about what you want to achieve and tailor your equipment to that. Number 2, when you start looking at replacing gear, deciding what will go or what you will replace, what isn't quite working for you. And if you're looking to reduce your pack weight, start with the largest items first, which in many cases is going to be your shelter or sleep system. So Paul Kirtley has a great little video out on this, on the bushcraft side of things, where he compares, say, your military-style tarp to some of the lighter weight silk nylon and so on tarps. You can save kilos very quickly with just one or two replacements. So rather than drilling holes in your toothbrush, it's probably a better idea to look at what the largest weight in your backpack is. See if you can get a lighter weighted tent. Invest in a down sleeping bag instead of a synthetic sleeping bag. Maybe even have a look at your rucksack. If you're carrying a massive 88 liter military rucksack, maybe with a lighter weight kit, a smaller kit, you'd be able to fit it into a very nice lightweight, say, Osprey bag. That will be a third of the weight. And you just start dropping the kilos off as you look in depth at your biggest items first. Number three, filter your water. So this is a relatively smaller saving, as savings go. But a water filter is a great way to save weight. So when I did that trip to Scotland, I was determined that I was going to boil all of my water. But I also wanted to make the distance during the day. So what in the end happened was, in the morning, I would boil close to 2 liters of water, leave it to cool, pack it into my hydration bladder and my water bottle, and that would be everything I needed to drink for the whole day. The problem is, water weighs a lot. It's a liter is a kilo. That's the standard measure of a kilo. Of a liter is a kilo of water. So if you're carrying a 3 liter reservoir plus a 1 liter water bottle, you've got another 5 kilos sitting in your back. And that just adds up. It's a weight that will sit on your shoulders and sit on your feet every step of the way. So when I switched over to a water filter, I got one of the MSR pump action filters, just a little one. I think it's called the Trailshot Mini. You just squeeze it, pop the tube in the water, squeeze it, and it filters the water straight into my water bladder. That works fantastic. Now, instead of carrying those 4 liters of water, I'll still make sure I have about a liter spare all the time. But when I start getting below those kind of 2 liters and getting closer to that 1 liter mark, I'll start looking out for streams and rivers. Another great thing about the UK is it waters everywhere, including falling from the sky. So find your stream, and then just do the water filter in and filter it out just while you take a break. So just pop your rucksack down, have a 10-15 minute break to admire the view, filter a bit of water into your rucksack, and then once you're done with your snack and everything else, just pop the rucksack back on your back and off you go. Just rolling back just a bit, I just wanted to underline the importance that you don't want to rely on it completely. So always having a little bit of reserve is a great idea, because you don't know when you could end up stuck somewhere due to low visibility or be injured or whatever, and you just want that little bit of a buffer. But yeah, carry on. So not only will it reduce the actual water that you're carrying with you, if you're not boiling your water to purify it, then you are saving on either your own energy, going to go fetch firewood and light it and everything else and make a fire, or you're saving on gas canisters and gas. because for that trip I had to carry some quite decent sized gas canisters to be able to boil water twice a day in addition to cooking and everything else. So it will save you in the actual weight of the water and in the fuel that it used to boil it. So if you're looking to get lighter weight, have a look at a water filter. Doesn't need to be MSR, there's some really good ones out there. Just pick something that's light, that works for you, and just get it in your pack. Number four. Now this is a bit of a cheeky one, because it doesn't actually just deal with weight. In fact, it doesn't deal with weight as much. Let's put it that way. And that is to reduce the bulk, if not the weight. So if you can reduce the bulk, so say you get a nesting pot set instead of a pot set that doesn't nest, in which case it takes up double the space. Use the space within other bits. So if your cup's not doing any particular duty during the day, if you can put your water bottle in there, you are saving in space and in bulk. If you can get a slightly smaller sleeping bag, which is still a similar weight, that's good as well. If you can get a really nice compression strap sack, like the Sea to Summit ones that Mark featured on my website, those will bring the bulk right down. Now, what that does is it might not have a direct correlation on the weight of those items, but it allows you to have a smaller backpack. Now, a smaller backpack will usually save you in a little bit of weight there, but just a smaller backpack actually is more comfortable to carry over the course of a day. So getting that bulk down, getting it into a smaller rucksack, first of all, you then don't look like a Sherpa out on a Himalayan trek. And secondly, it just sits that much better if you are able to reduce the weight, get it down to a smaller bag, and get it sitting properly on your back. So that was number four, reduce bulk if not weight. Number five is minimize your cook system or food method. Now this kind of comes back to number one as well. Be clear about what you want. If you do want to get in the miles, chances are you are not going to be able to cook a three-course meal of wild-caught salmon and gathered bilberries. It could happen. You could be that kind of person that has that much energy after 10, 12 hours of walking to still want to put all that together, but that's not me. When I did that Scotland trip, I took my frying pan, I took my bacon and eggs, and I had rice and all sorts, and a big heavy cooking pot to fit it all in, one of those stainless steel Zebra cans. And yeah, it weighed a lot. And it's really not something you want to do very much of, cooking if and carrying of equipment. I mean, there are exceptions. I mean, if you're traveling as part of a group, you can share the load, you can share the actual cooking tasks. But if you're on your own and you're just looking to get the miles in, just consider going a bit more simple. So now you can get all of these freeze-dried and dehydrated camping meals, boil-in-the-bag meals. Now, personally, I think they're pretty decent. They are really quite expensive. So I tend to limit myself to having one of those meals a day. So I will have a dehydrated meal in the evening, which tends to be my biggest meal. Then for breakfast, I used to do the whole bacon and eggs everything, and as I eat very much a kind of paleo carnivore diet, which is high in protein, low in processed foods, very low in carbohydrates. I tend to avoid some of the more traditional breakfasts, but if you want to get some porridge in the morning, that's great. If that's your thing and your stomach can tolerate it and everything, go for it. Porridge, everything else, perfect. So, what I actually do, it's not ideal, is I actually have scrambled eggs and ham and or bacon, so ready mixed. I carry it in a Nalgene or plastic bottle. So just crack the eggs into there, chop the bacon into there. It'll keep for a few days, particularly if it's winter time when you're traveling. And then I just pour a bit of that into a plastic bag, submerge it into my what is it, pot of water, and cook it for a while just until the egg firms up in the bag. And then I eat it straight out of the bag, and the bag is wrapped up and it goes either if it's a reusable bag, it will go back for cleaning, or if it's a disposable bag, then unfortunately, this is one of the few times where I would just throw it away. Well, pack it out, but yeah, in a bin bag, and then throw it away. That's what I meant. And then for the rest of the day, I usually just snack, have some biltong, some salami sticks, nuts, just snacking. Not gonna cook any meals during the middle of the day, just something lightweight, just to keep you going until you can crash in the evening. This whole cooking system means that I can take a smaller cook set. So I have a El Cheapo, I think it's the Van Gogh anodized aluminium cook set, which I don't mind using aluminium if the food generally isn't in contact with the water. I know a lot of other people are a bit more fussy about aluminium, but I figure once in a while is fine. And then I just boil a bit of water on a compact gas stove. You can get some really tiny ones like the MSR Pocket Rocket and various offshoots, which can literally fit in a pocket. You get a small gas canister because you're not boiling tons of food or cooking on a frying pan for half an hour. And that will get you through quite a few days in relative comfort, getting the calories in, and it's pretty lightweight to boot. So yeah, minimize your cook system. And my method also minimizes washing up. And essentially, all I have to wash up at the end of it is a spoon, because the boil in the bag and everything else just goes straight into a bin bag and it gets packed out with me. So those are my top five tips. To reiterate, be clear about your goals. Decide what you want to do, what you want to achieve, what your targets are. Try not to do everything in one trip. Try and get focused. This will make the most of your time out in the wilds. Secondly, if you're looking to lighten the load, start with shelter and sleep. Start with your biggest items and work your way down. Save those pennies and slowly upgrade if you can. 3. Filter your water. Get a water filter and save a whole lot of weight off your back. 4. Reduce bulk, if not weight. See if you can get it all in that smaller rucksack. 5. Minimize your cook system and food methods. As I just said, yep, see if you can do it slightly differently. Planner meals are fine when you're just looking to get in the miles. I know a few people who just grab a protein bar just as soon as they wake up, munch that, pack the tent down, get on the move, and then stop for coffee like 2 or 3 hours in. If you want to go further with lighter load, reduce your food. Now, this is kind of the bonus set of tips. And this is for when you can't reduce your weight. Because in the end, there will come a point where you are either compromising your comfort or even your safety. You'll see this if you follow any kind of ultralight hikers and bloggers that are in the US. Some of them will really reduce the amount of equipment they have. The problem with that is you need to be careful not to reduce your equipment below what will allow you to survive if the weather turns. Sometimes carrying that extra down jacket might be a pain, might be a bit of extra weight, but if it keeps you safe on the hill, do it. And in general, the lighter weight you go, the less comfortable you're often going to be. So where you make your decision, where you draw the line and say, this is not comfortable enough for me to get a good night's sleep, to be rested, to be able to walk another 100 miles in the morning, I need my pillow, for example. It'll be down to you, and everyone carries a different amount of weight. And you don't have to be an ultralight backpacker to enjoy the outdoors. I mean, it certainly helps. The lighter your pack is, the happier most people are when you're getting in the miles, because you're not thinking about your sore feet, your sore shoulders, and how long you're going to have to go up that hill. But you're taking in the views, you're enjoying every moment. So make your decisions on how much you'll do, and just accept that you will sometimes overpack. Even now, every time I'm out on a trip, I'm constantly making decisions and reevaluating my choices to take this or take that. In general, if you don't use something for like 5 or 6 trips, and it's not a core emergency piece of equipment like a first aid kit, consider leaving it out, or developing a skill that will replace it. But yeah, just don't compromise your safety in that again. Except that overpacking happens. And really, if you are worried about the weight of your pack, sometimes the solution, as it seems, is to just get stronger. Just add a bit more weight to your everyday backpack when you're going to and from work, commuting from work. Just, I don't know, add a brick at the bottom. No, just joking. Just add an extra bottle of water, a thermos of hot coffee, and that'll get your shoulders and legs used to it. Do more strength exercises. Pick up something like yoga, which builds the muscles in your knees and legs. There's some excellent books out there. I mean, I've recently been, well, not recently, it's been about a year now, I've been using a book called Yoga for Men, which is just plain no-nonsense approach to yoga, where it gives you a set of poses and routines to work through, and they really do start building strength where you need it, in your ankles and knees and shoulders. So do some strength training, do some yoga, go out for a run every now and again, or cycle, or whatever works for you. Just get stronger, and the backpack will start to feel lighter. A lot of people pick up my backpacks that I take out and about on a daily basis and go, "Oh, that's terrible." I barely notice the weight. It's something I carry every day. You just need to get your body conditioned to be able to carry that weight. And if you carry more weight more often, you will get stronger. As I said, eliminate. So kind of the last tip again is eliminate and evaluate. So just have a look at what you need. Go on a course, learn a new skill. Have a look at your friend's setup. Modify your kit. But in the end, just don't worry too much about it. What's at the po important at the end of the day is that you are in a learning process. Everyone is. Even the most hardened, lifelong backpacker is probably still evaluating their kit and deciding what they'll keep this time, what they'll leave behind, and what they just really don't need. So, Yeah, just accept that sometimes a heavy pack is a part of the learning process and just get out there and enjoy. I think I have now rambled on for long enough, so I will start wrapping this up. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. It is something new, something that I may well do more of, as if people really enjoy hearing a bit more from me. But we should be back next month with our regular scheduled interviews. So, if you did enjoy this or have any comments or critiques, you can either go onto my website, brackenoutdoors.com/podcast, or you can leave a comment, review, rating, whatever on the platform you are listening to. I really hope you enjoyed it, and until next time, enjoy every moment.